The Los Angeles Dodgers are one win away from winning the World Series.
Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Tuesday, October 29th, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. Follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Christian Rau, woke back from his trip. Follow him on Twitter at Christian S. Rau, R-A-U-H. And Christian, what a heck of a time to go out of town, man. This series is almost over while you've been on the road. I want to get to Aaron Judge's lack of production in the World Series. I want to get to Walker Buehler looking like he might be back in what is probably his last start before free agency. I want to get to Freddie Freeman and his heroics. But first, have you ever seen a more deceptive final score than 4-2? Because this game, despite it being a two-run lead when the final out was recorded, this game was nowhere near that close. When you look at the fact that those two runs came on an Alex Verdugo hit in the ninth inning with two outs and two strikes, and they were that was the first runs that New York scored in the game was at the very end.
Yeah, there was a couple of things that happened at the end of the game in the late innings that I want to talk to later on that might have made this one a little closer. But other than that, no, this game wasn't close at all. And thankfully, there are TVs in hotel rooms because I haven't missed a single inning of this World Series. But I am surprised that it's already 3-0. Like I said, I'm surprised. And this might just show, okay, maybe this is why MLB is making this happen. Maybe they're like, hey, people know that we want this to go seven. They got the script, so we can't let it go seven now. Maybe they're trying to play some reverse psychology on us, Lindsey. But the air was sucked out of Yankee Stadium just from the first inning. I mean, you get into the Bronx, the weather's nice. This is the first time you get a World Series matchup in over a decade in Yankee Stadium, and Freddie Freeman just sucks the air out of the Bronx. It was incredible. The home run was incredible. You know, we entered this World Series when we previewed it last Friday with, you know, you, myself, and Troy. We were questioning, will Freddie Freeman even be a remote impact at all? It's so laughable looking back at that just from a few days ago after what we've seen from Freddie Freeman over this last three games. It's just incredible. He has a home run in his last five World Series games dating back to the 2021 World Series game five when he's with the Braves. He loves playing in October. We talked about Kike Hernandez being in October. We're not talking enough about Freddie Freeman. We're really not.
Freddie Freeman is Canadian for Mr. October.
Nice. There it is.
There we go. So he tied George Springer with that record, home run in five straight World Series games. Obviously, Springer did it all for the Astros. No players ever home run in every game of a World Series. Only Springer's done it in four straight in the same World Series. But Freeman, like we said, has home run in all three games here. He is the third player in MLB history to do that. Hank Bauer in 1958 for the Yankees, Barry Bonds for the Giants in 2002. Freddie Freeman is now in that list as well. And it started off, I mean, Shohei Ohtani walks to open the game. We had questions about how effective he would be with the shoulder injury. He walked. You could see him protecting himself. He was kind of holding his left hand up by his neck to keep his, just safeguard his shoulder. But Mookie Betts flies out and then Freddie homers. And from that point on, LA was never in danger. They added a third run in the third inning. That was something where Mookie scored Tommy Edman, who had walked to get on, was singled over, or sort of was advanced to second on a ground out by Shohei, and then comes in. They turn around again in the sixth, and they add another run. And it's just, New York could never figure out what to do and could never get anything going offensively. They finished the game with only five hits. And again, the ninth inning contributed a little bit of that. Freddie Freeman is the favorite, obviously, to win World Series MVP. And we've already kind of talked about how unlikely it was that he came up and did this after not having much of an impact so far in October with this sprained ankle. But, like, this is something, and I had this conversation on the Braves pod yesterday. I got a little bit of pushback for it. If the Dodgers win this World Series, which feels likely, and if Freddie Freeman is the MVP of the World Series, which feels likely, not only to me is he a lock to make the Hall of Fame, but it feels like that's now a situation where he's not going to go into the Hall of Fame with the A on his cap. It'll be, at best for Braves fans, a blank cap like what Greg Maddux did, where he divided it between Atlanta and Chicago and just went in with a blank cap.
Oh, man, I didn't even thought about that, but you're probably right. Yeah, I can probably see a blank cap going, especially because, you know, there's a lot of still, I think there's still a lot of bad blood between how he left as well. And I know it goes on each side, but that's a good point. Yeah, you might be seeing him. I don't think it'll be as just a Dodger, though. I think you're right. The blank cap thing, I like that. I've never even thought about that until right now. Yeah. So he has me kind of off guard, but wow.
He has more war with Atlanta. He spent obviously more time both in the majors and with the organization, but winning a championship with both teams and doing it in the way that he did, you know, being a World Series MVP, which he was not that for Atlanta when they won. He was an instrumental part. Like you said, he homered and, you know, in some of those last games, but
he's a local LA kid too. Right. So that doesn't,
yeah,
that
he's, doesn't help. He is of Canadian descent, but he is, you know, he's from LA. He's from California. And part of that was part of the whole reason why people, you know, why he left. Part of it was chalked up to wanting to get back home. His wife is from there as well. And so, yeah, I mean, I got a lot of odd pushback from Braves fans who were like, no, Freddie Freeman's going to be a Brave in the Hall of Fame. And I'm like, I don't think he is anymore. I think he may, if maybe this time last year, he could have. He has a couple years left in LA. They could win another. Feels like it's a blank cap situation.
I agree. Yeah, I think you might have just been hearing something from some Atlanta shaded glasses on that one. But yeah. You try to think of an unbiased approach. I mean, Freddie Freeman's had some amazing years with Atlanta, no doubt. But what he's done in Los Angeles since he's swapped over to the Dodgers has been really impressive, too. And it's on the back half of his career. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about former greats of the Atlanta Braves, one of them guys being Dale Murphy, he didn't have a great second half of his career, although I think he should be a Hall of Famer. Yep. When you talk about guys like doing great things in the back end of their career. Exactly. And if Freddie Freeman's doing it and he's doing it in a Dodgers cap, yeah, I could totally see him going in a blank cap in Cooperstown. That's a really interesting thought. I never even once thought to put that to mind.
Yeah. And kind of on this Dodgers point, being up 3-0 now. I think the thing to know is teams who have gone up 3-0 in a best of seven series have won it 98% of the time. So 39 out of 40 times, 31 of those were sweeps, and only twice has a team in a best of seven postseason series even forced a game seven when they were down 3-0. The 2020 Astros did it, but lost to the Rays. The 04 Red Sox did it, but and won against the Yankees. Both of those were in the ALCS. It's never happened in the World Series. And if the Yankees or if the Dodgers also win this, I think a lot of credit is going to end up going to this starting rotation. We had so many questions about Jack Flaherty, about Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and about Walker Buehler. And he had 5 scoreless innings last night. He was fantastic and really was the kind of pitcher that we have not seen Walker Buehler be since he came back. 2 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. For the first time, really, since he came back from Tommy John the second time, the fastball was a weapon for him. The slider was great, the curveball, the cutter. But this is just, he's allowed 1 earned run in 18 career World Series innings across 3 starts. It's a 0.50 ERA. And those are his first 3 World Series starts in his career. It's legitimately one of the best cumulative World Series performances that we've ever seen. How much money do you think he just made himself going into free agency? Because unless it goes 7 games, that was his last start of the World Series.
Yeah, and it might be his last start as a Dodger. You're right. I think the funniest thing I saw on social media after the game was former Locked On Marlins host Pete Pratt said Walker Buehler just worked himself out of playing for the Miami Marlins next
year.
Just
priced himself out of playing for Miami, yeah. Just priced
himself out, yeah. I thought that was hilarious. And I think that's true. I think he's going to get a good contract, but it might not be as prove it deal as you think, because what he's proven to do in the postseason, he had a dreadful start to this postseason against the Padres, allowed 6 runs in 5 innings in that 5 innings that he went for the NLDS. But afterwards, an NLCS against the Mets was fantastic. And then obviously what he did last night was just incredible. And over the last 9 innings of postseason ball, he has 9 shutout innings, Lindsay. And you've talked about what he's done in the World Series, but what he's done in this postseason, after what he did all regular season, ups and downs, he's really stepped forward. This is something where he might not leave now. There might be a whole different kind of conversation on if he remains a Dodger this offseason because of what we've seen from this performance from Walker Buehler. I'm actually really interested. He's going to be one of the most polarizing figures, I think, with the exception of guys like obviously Juan Soto and things. But when you look at the pitching market, a guy like Walker Buehler, I think, could really change the dynamic of the entire free agent market. He's not going to be the most highest paid player in the pitching market being signed. Sure, I get that, no doubt about it. But somebody could feel that this is a key piece that could be in the middle of their rotation. It could be somebody that's not even considered a contender right now going for that. And yeah, it could really change the entire landscape of the game, especially if you get a guy like postseason Walker Buehler in the regular season in 2025. So if someone's interested in taking a chance on him, let's just say, for example, the Detroit Tigers, what if they go after Walker Buehler, right? And he gives them the type of performance that they're getting right now in the regular season. You know, you're right back to the same spot you were at the beginning of the year with a Flaherty and Tarek Skubal. But then now you also have all those other pieces that got you into a deep run in the playoffs. So really interested to see what Walker Buehler can do moving forward. But overall, I'm very impressed of this pitching rotation because, again, I'll go back to what we talked about on Friday. We were really off, I guess, on that preview because we had no idea what we were going to see from Freddie Freeman, which I think was a fair point, by the way. Yeah. I don't think we were the only ones.
A lot of people were in that same boat we were.
And then, of course, with the rotation, I also don't think we were the only people in the world because what we have seen, we saw some ups and downs from Flaherty. He didn't have the best outings in the NLCS, especially his second start, right? Yamamoto just coming back from injury. There were still some questions about that. And then Walker Buehler, you know, this was his first ever start at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. So it's just wild that never happened like that. And kind of going back to Buehler for a second, you mentioned he's going to be a little bit polarizing. I think he's going to have the biggest delta between what he could, like between his performance he could give you and the salary he's going to get. And there's going to be some organizations that just don't really want to either commit to him long-term or give him a meaningful deal. I do want to point out some comments that he made both before and after the game that a lot of people have kind of seized on that are really interesting. So on Thursday, he talked about the lack of expectations from him because of how he struggled this year, right? Because he put up a 5.84 ERA in his first 8 starts back. He went on the injured list in July and he left. He went to a private facility in Florida to try to work on his mechanics and things like that, and then came back and wasn't that much better when he came back before turning it on in the postseason. And so going into the World Series, he said, quote, "That freedom of not having to be the guy all the time, I think it's been a big thing for me. Sometimes I wish I had that weight back, but right now I feel pretty good not having it." So not having the expectations, I mean, in essence, he's admitting that it did weigh on him a little bit. And then Monday night, after this outing, he says, quote, "I think as kind of brutal as it is to say, it takes that adrenaline and stuff to kind of really get me going mentally. I wish I would have felt that all year. Wish I could tell you I'm excited to pitch every single game I've ever gone out there, but there's something different in the playoffs." It's really encouraging for me personally because I know it's in there and I've just got to unlock it a little bit. But the feeling of there's an organization relying on me today to win a playoff game, I think it's kind of the weight that I like feeling and kind of gets me in a certain place mentally that is hard to replicate. And so there's some people who are seizing on these quotes as saying that he doesn't want the pressure going from Thursday. And then on Monday night saying that he can't really get amped up unless there is that pressure and unless it is postseason and all of those stakes. Do you think those quotes are going to turn teams off on signing Walker Buehler? Or is this just what he did on the field is what is the only thing that really matters at this point.
Yeah, I think overall performance is obviously going to be the key factor on where he gets signed, but I'm not too worried about those kind of comments personally, mm-hmm. because I think some of it was him trying to just like weed through the media, if you will. He probably didn't want to keep answering the same questions over and over again. I'm pretty sure that he knows that he didn't have the best regular season and he probably wanted to get by that, move on. So I feel like that was might be a nice way to just kind of answer that question and move on from that portion. But he's proven that when it's a tough scenario in the postseason, with the exception of that NLDS, but that was just a wild game anyways, if you go back and remember that game. With the exception of that game, he has proven that he's great in the postseason. And I think that's enough. I think when you go back and you look at the career right now of the resume of Walker Buehler, if you're trying to sign him, if you are a contender in the postseason, if you think you can figure out and fix his little woes or things that you can get him in the regular season to get you to the postseason, he doesn't have to be your staff ace. If you can get him to be your two or three in a rotation and get him into the postseason and be your game two, your game three starter, like he is in LA right now, you're in great shape. So no, I think he's going to be a really fun. And I like how you said Delta, because I do think he's going to be, he could be a big change on a franchise moving forward this winter. I'm really excited for free agency this winter. I think it's going to be one of the most exciting free agencies that we had in a very long time. Last year we had the Ohtani Yamamoto thing, but that happened so quick. And those were just like the two biggest names. I think we have a lot of names that could really change the landscape of baseball this year. They're not like the biggest names in the world. Of course, we do have some, but I think there are some other really interesting pieces that are going to change the entire landscape of baseball moving forward. I'm very excited for free agency.
Yeah. And I do think that some of these names are so big that it easily just kind of rules out certain teams. Like, we know the market for Juan Soto. We know that there's probably 15 to 20 teams that just aren't even involved in that at all. I don't think it's quite the same as Ohtani, where just about every team wanted a shot because he was both a pitcher and a position player, and we didn't realize it'd get to $700 million. I think for Juan Soto, everybody knows that, like, the Guardians, like, even world, like, postseason teams, the Guardians aren't going to sign him. The Royals aren't going to sign him, right? Teams like Milwaukee aren't going to sign him. Arizona's not going to sign him. Like, we just know that. And I think that helps a little bit. But kind of moving over to the Yankees real quick. Aaron Judge has not only been not good this postseason, he's been bad. He has legitimately just not performed. He was 0-for-3 last night. He does not have a multi-hit game in the postseason. He's batting 140. He's 6-for-43, 20 strikeouts, and 2 double plays. And now in his career, he's batting 196 in the postseason. There are 2 hitters in American League and National League history to hit under 200 with more than 200 postseason at-bats. And it's Aaron Judge and Reggie Sanders. And I don't really know. Like, it feels like the first plate appearance, I think, is the perfect microcosm of what's going on with Aaron Judge, because he swung at the 3 fastballs. He took the 3 breaking pitches, but he just swung and missed. He has a 45% whiff rate in the postseason. Is this anything? Like, and he was chasing. He's chasing 35% of the time in the World Series so far. Is this something that they can fix? Or is this just, it's too little too late, this series is going to be over, and you have to hope you can make it back in the postseason and figure out how to be better next time?
Yeah, for the sake of Aaron Judge's career and legacy, and I'm not afraid to say this, and this is going to be a very polarizing opinion, but for the sake of Aaron Judge's legacy as a Yankee, if he does not change his postseason ways, there is no way that you're going to be able to put him in the same category as the top Yankee greats that some like to do right now, despite the number of home runs he finishes his career with. The Yankees are known for winning World Series, for doing great, big things. Let's be honest. They're the reason they have a lot of World Series wins. But if Aaron Judge cannot get them past the finish line as the captain that he has been you know, banked as when he came back, you know, when he came back to the Yankees in free agency, he was given the captain patch. And if he cannot do that, if he cannot show that he can make that step in the postseason and get them, especially enough, they don't even get a win. Like, this is, I think this game four is more important to Aaron Judge, his legacy, than any other player on the field in tonight's game. Because if they get swept, all we're going to talk about all offseason is, one, is Aaron Boone still on the hot seat, regardless of being the World Series? Because you're going to hear that all offseason from Yankees fans that he didn't do enough, which is bizarre to me, but because I thought he, for the most part, did a pretty good job managing this playoffs. And then you're going to talk about the legacy of Aaron Judge. I think that's going to come up multiple times if they don't even get at least one win. So I think he needs to figure a way out to get this Yankees team at least one in the Bronx. And that starts tonight, obviously. But if not, Lindsay, we're talking about a whole different way to view Aaron Judge as a Yankee great. If this is the only World Series that he gets to, can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about this Yankee squad. Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton are 7-for-23 with two homers. They've driven in 4 of the 7 New York runs in the series. Everybody else combined is batting 152. And it's one thing for Alex Verdugo to struggle. It's one thing for Austin Wells to struggle. Jazz Chisholm to struggle. It's another thing for the captain, for Aaron Judge, who hit 58 home runs and batted, I believe he batted over 300 in the regular season. For him to struggle this badly in the postseason and in the World Series is tough. And I feel like Aaron Judge is always going to be beloved in New York, but I think you're right. He's going to be in a different tier from a lot of the other Yankees greats and captains and things like that, because the team hasn't won a World Series with him and he hasn't been able to perform in the postseason. So it does start tonight. This is a bullpen game. Weird to think this. If you're the Yankees, you're happy to not see a Dodgers starter. The Dodgers starting pitchers, 16 2/3 innings so far in the World Series, have held the Yankees to 3 runs. Like, it's wild to think that you're happy to not have to face a Dodger starter when, to us, and we said this in the preview last week, that was the weakness for the Dodgers on the pitching matchups, was the rotation, and they've just come out here and been great. You've got to get a win in the bullpen game tonight to get it to game 5. Gerrit Cole will come back for game 5. His last 3 starts, all in the postseason, 17 1/3 innings, 12 strikeouts, 4 walks, 2.08 ERA. If you can get it to game 5, he gives you the ability to stay in a game, have an opportunity to win. I'll remind you, he held LA to 1 run over 6 innings in game 1. They didn't win that until extras. It's just you've gotta get a win tonight to extend it to Gerrit Cole. And at this point, I just don't know if you will.
Makes you wonder if Gerrit Cole's going to be available in the bullpen tonight. You know, I talked about on Friday, one of the biggest memories that I remember Gerrit Cole in the postseason is him sitting in the bullpen waiting to come out when he was a Houston Astro, sitting in his windbreaker. Are we going to see him in a Yankees jacket waiting in the bullpen and then not ever coming out and the Yankees get swept? Is that going to be just like another polarizing, you know, image of Gerrit Cole and his postseason career? It's going to be a wild game in game 4. And, you know, the Dodgers going to the bullpen, that's an interesting piece as well, because they used 6 different bullpen arms last night. 7 different pitchers, if you include Buehler, but they had 6 different bullpen arms come out last night. Now, only Brazier and Kopech went a full inning, but you know, that's still something. I think we're going to see a lot of different pitching changes. I think Dave Roberts is going to throw all the stunts because I think he's going to want to get the sweep. Why wouldn't you? Not only are you going to win the World Series, but you're going to be able to sweep against the New York Yankees. We're going to be talking about this World Series forever if that happens. The Dodgers are never going to let this one down. And why would you?
To not have a Mickey Mouse World Series?
Yeah, and sweep the New York Yankees while doing it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This will be, you know, this has got to be, you know, seen as one of the best World Series in their history if that happens, because the Yankees are no joke. This is still a really good roster. They're just not batting well. And, you know, even though Schmidt didn't have a best game, you know, their bullpen still did pretty good. You know, there was a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of issues with the Yankees. I will say this one thing, though, and I kind of teased it at the beginning of the podcast today, Lindsay. there was one point, and I think it was the seventh inning, Anthony Rizzo got hit by a pitch, or no, excuse me, he got a single.
Yeah,
and he got on base. Right after that, Austin Wells, we talked about, comes in. He gets a low pitch for a strike three call. That was pretty huge. And then right after that, Gleyber Torres gets a strike three call on a pitch that was super high. I mean, it was not even close to end the inning. That could have changed everything in this game. It really could have, regardless of the score, even though it was 4-0 at the time, that could have changed this game very quickly. We have seen what they did against Cleveland in the last series late in games. That one moment could have changed this game. Obviously, it didn't, and the Dodgers are up 3-0. I get it. It's all in hindsight. But it makes you wonder. There's these little teeny things. Obviously, the Giancarlo Stanton, you know, running straight up like the Tin Man to home base doesn't help either. But
Ali, what
there's
a
lot of little, there's a lot of very small things that could have changed in this game to make this one be 2-1. And we might be talking about the series being tied after this game. But instead, now we're talking about the potential, the Dodgers sweeping and ending the World Series in 4 games before it even gets back to Los Angeles. Oh, can you imagine the Boo Birds in the stands, in the bleachers, if the Dodgers win the World Series tonight in Yankee Stadium? They still have 2 more games to win it in Yankee Stadium. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, and in that inning you're talking about, Verdugo walked. So there was 2 on. Gleyber Torres could have taken the lead, I think. At the seventh, it was 4-0 at that point. But he could have made it a 1-run game. So yeah, absolutely big there. And then Stanton gets sent. Teoscar Hernandez just blows him away at the plate. Hardest throw of the season for Teoscar. A lot of back and forth stuff. I want to say the Yankees win tonight. I really do. I want to think that they find a way to stave off elimination. But I said this in the show yesterday. I'll remind folks. Giancarlo Stanton's not actually been that good at home in the postseason. Almost all of his production in the postseason has been on the road. And so it's Juan Soto and I guess a little bit of Anthony Rizzo. And that's about really it. And at this point, I just don't think it's enough. Even with the bullpen going for LA, I just don't think it's enough. I've got the Dodgers winning the World Series tonight and clinching in New York in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I'm with you. How can you not? I think we're going to see probably something from Stanton. Stanton's really, taken off and had a great postseason. And who knows if this is the last postseason for him. So I think we'll still see something from him. If I'm a betting man, which I can't where I'm at right now, although on my last trip, I got the bet. Not college sports is pretty cool for the record. I did not win, but regardless, but if I'm betting, so keep this as you will. You got to say Freddie Freeman's going to hit a home run, right? You got to go ahead and put those odds out there. And then I think we're going to get one from Giancarlo Stanton tonight, too. I think we're going to get one each. But I do think that the Dodgers are going to win this one, because how can you not bet against them right now? What they've shown, it was not even close in last night's game, despite the rough calls from the ump towards the end of the game. The Yankees have to pull out all stunts. There's no doubt about that. I think that you have to have a guy like Garrett Cole ready out of the bullpen if Gil struggles or if there's a moment. I think you have to, because your season's on the line. There's no reason to save Garrett Cole for Game 5 if there is no Game 5. So I think it's going to be an interesting game tonight. We'll see what happens, but I think the Dodgers finish this one off.
Yeah, I do too. This has been First Pitch for Tuesday, October 29th. We'll come back with you tomorrow either way, either talking about a World Series championship for the Dodgers or talking about how the Yankees fought to stay alive for 1 more game. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.